Mark chapter 6. And we read we quoted this as the story of the feeding of the 5,000. But we were mentioning the fact that Jesus had them sit down in verse number 39. He commanded them to make all the disciples, in other words, the disciples, he commanded the disciples to have all the people sit down by companies upon green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And then he took the bread. Remember, there wasn't enough food except one little boy's lunch. He took the bread and distributed it to those 12 apostles, and they distributed it to the company, somebody in the company, and it was spread around. And everybody was fed, and they had baskets left over. Amen. And then we had, as another key scripture, in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I wrote that down wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and then verse number 18, if you want to go there. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. Jesus, it says, sets, verse 18, God has set in members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. As it has pleased him. And we're talking about, as in this new member Sunday, because there's a group of people becoming members this morning. Well, they're in the process, starting the process this morning, that we're talking about how God's plan for believers today is that they be a part of a local church. Amen. And he sets us in the body as it pleased him. Now, because we might have in our heart, God set us in this body, doesn't mean we don't recognize the rest of the body of Christ. I mean, no man can say, the hand can't say to the foot, and no other member can say to another member, I have no need of thee. If I don't have the rest of the body of Christ, then I'm accountable for everything they're supposed to be doing.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to be responsible for everything because I can't do everything.
Yes, sir.
So I need the other parts of the body. I need other, you know, ministers and other, you know, I need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and I need them all doing everything they're supposed to do. Because I can't do it all. I can't be in Nigeria this morning preaching. Pastor Ike's over there in Nigeria preaching. I can't be in Australia, I can't be, but I can do what I'm supposed to do. And you can't be everywhere, but you can be where God sets you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So it says that it pleased him. God has set everyone in the body as it pleased him. I want you to notice, if it pleased him to set us in the body where he wants us to be, then it would please him if we showed up there. It would please him if we say, okay, that's my company. Remember Acts 4, being let go, they went to their own company. And that's my company. They had a place they called their own. That was their church. That was their home church. That doesn't mean there wasn't other good local churches. There's a lot of good local churches. But we all need a place to call home. And God sets us in the body as it pleased him. In the first hour, we looked at the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, 3, how that he dictated letters to the churches. To the churches of Asia Minor, you know, Ephesus and all those churches. And because if he's going to disseminate his message or get his message out, the head of the church is the one dictating the message. If he's going to get the message out, he has to get it to where the people are. And he sent it to the churches. He didn't say, now to the local Bible study leader or to the local prayer group leader. Amen. Now, there's a place for Bible studies, there's a place for prayer groups, there's a place for all different kinds of meetings in the church world. How many of you know there's more than just church meetings? But, right on the other hand, that he knew that even though they might go to a Bible study, they might go to a a prayer group or something like that, or might go to evangelistic meeting, help people get saved, do outreach and stuff like that, they might go to all that. Then when they're all done with that, they go back to their local church. In other words, the local church was where he sent the message, because he knew whatever they were doing out here, they were all going to come back, and they'd get the message if he sent it to back there where he intended for them to all come back to. Everybody say the local church. God's big on the local church. 110 times the word church or churches is mentioned in the New Testament, and depending how you interpret a couple of them, about 90 of them are referring to the local church. So God's big on the local church. And this is a type, what he did here in Mark 6, this is a type of what he did in the book of Revelation when he got a message to the churches. He sent it to the pastor of that church, and that pastor put it out into that church. And so if the message was going to get to the sheep, they needed to be in church. Amen? Now, we've read a lot of different scriptures as we went through this morning, but we basically said, you know, when you buy a car, you can get a stripped down model, or you can get one with the bells and whistles. You know, I like the bells and whistles. Amen. I want to do more than get around. I want to get around in comfort. Amen. With my seat warm, my hands warm, everything warm. Praise God. Just push a button and the windows go up and down. Push a button and this changes, that changes. Glory. But see, that's the way, because the body of Christ hasn't been properly taught, many Christians don't realize that what their version of Christianity is a very stripped down version. How many of you know that the new birth is the base model? That's the base. That's the basis. That's how you get into the body of Christ. And I think if you don't get anything else, get that. But listen, there's a whole lot. Whenever you come to God, He says, okay, but I got a lot of extras for you too. Amen. And if you want to hear all about it, get in church. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think some Christians are driving around in a version of Christianity that has wheels, a steering wheel, and an engine, and that's about it. I mean, don't ask them to brake because they don't know how to get stopped. You know, they don't know how to put the brakes on the flesh. You know, just there's just a lot of things that they're doing without because. And see, the local church is part of the extra version. You know, the upgraded Christianity. Thank God for the upgrades. I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to live in victory while I'm down here. And I find out about that by getting in the Word of God and going to church. Somebody preach and teach me the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I can get that all on Christian TV. Well, you can. You can get some. But you can't fulfill God's plan for you without having a local church. Thank God for the local church. All right. Then we said that Hebrews 13:5, Jesus exhorted us to not have a bad habit of not going to church. And so there's a lot here that we won't recap. But just know, Jesus' own hometown there in Mark 6. We were there in chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. But if you back up to the beginning of the chapter, Jesus went to Nazareth and ministered and preached. And the Bible said that he could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. You remember? They knew him after the flesh. Brother Larry was talking about that a minute ago. And they just said, well, he's just Mary's boy. And Joseph, they thought Joseph was his father. And, you know, we grew up with him and so forth. He made the table in our kitchen over here. And, you know, they just knew him after the flesh. But they didn't know him under the anointing. How many of you know when the anointing, preachers are human just like anybody else. But when the anointing comes on them, it comes on them because he has somebody else in mind. When God anointed my pastor, Pastor Nancy, he had me in mind. He didn't have her in mind when he anointed her for the ministry. There's an anointing for her own personal life. But I'm talking about for the ministry, he had me in mind. And when God anointed me and Pastor Debbie, he had you in mind.
That's right.
Well, Bible said don't draw attention to a person. I'm not talking about the person. I'm a human. She's a human. Believe me, we live with each other. We're human. We're not talking about the human. We're talking about the anointing that comes on the human and what that anointing does. Amen. And when King Saul, we talked about it in the first hour, when King Saul was called to be king, he was very unspiritual, ill-equipped. He wasn't up to the job. I mean, when you're hiding in the stuff because you don't want to be in the public, but you're called to be king. I mean, we need some help here. God said, here's what's going to be the solution to that. I'm going to connect you with some other people. Because remember, Samuel prophesied about him being king. And then he said, when you leave here, you're going to meet a company of prophets. And they're going to be singing. And basically, we would say, flowing in the Holy Ghost. Speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Worshiping God under the anointing. And I want you, King Saul, you're going to be king. I'm going to plop you right in the middle of that Holy Ghost bunch. You're not sufficient the way you are. How many of you know a lot of us aren't sufficient for what God calls us to do? But he has a ways of imparting things to us to make us sufficient. And he did that to Saul. He said, you get in the middle of that Holy Ghost bunch and what's on them will get on you and you'll be turned into another man. That's what God's doing in local churches today. He said, I got a plan for this one. I got a plan for that one. I got a plan for that one. But they're like David's, depressed, discouraged, and in debt people. They come together and they're all, messed up and defeated and, and in debt and in problems. And David put a spirit of faith into them.
Yeah.
You remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:13 quoted David and said, we having the same spirit of faith. Same spirit of faith. David's the one that wrote that. Yeah, David's the one that wrote, well, I believe and I speak, I mean. And Paul's quoting him, said, we have that same spirit. David imparted the spirit of faith that was on him into those depressed, discouraged, and in debt people and turned them into the greatest fighting force Israel had ever seen.
Amen.
Not because of military ability, but because of faith. And that's what God's doing today. He's bringing together people who are insufficient, ill-equipped, don't have what they need, depressed, discouraged, in debt, bound with this, bound with that, squirrely in their mind, squirrely in their marriage, squirrely in their finances, squirrely, squirrely, squirrely. Dysfunction. Somebody said, well, I came up in a dysfunctional family. And I always say, welcome to the human race.
Yeah.
Welcome to the human. And we are without God. We're dysfunctional.
Yeah.
But He brings us to a place to make us functional.
That's right.
And listen, it's not a man that has the ability to do that.
Yeah. No.
It is the anointing of the pastoral office. It brings things in order. Go back there to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9 is a passage we need to get to here this morning. It says in verse number, Jesus in verse 36 saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them. Boy, that's been in my heart lately, compassion. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Notice that's really where the compassion took him there. He said if you read the whole context, he was basically, the crowds were growing, they're getting bigger, and he's one man. He's ministering as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. He's the Son of God, but he's ministering as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he's not able to get to all the people because he's only one person. And he's saying, I need more people to be anointed with what I've got. And he really, if you read, this is verse 36, and we always stop down there a lot of times in verse number 38. But then you read chapter 10, verse 1, he ordained 12 more. This compassion moved him to impart that anointing to others to help get this job done.
Yeah.
And that's what he did when he calls ministers. He's anointing them to do the same things he was doing when he was here on the earth. He stood in all fivefold ministry offices. He was the apostle, and he is the apostle and high priest of our confession and so forth. You can go through the scriptures and find him in every fivefold ministry office. But he gives a portion of that to different ones in the body to continue to carry out what he was anointed to do when he was here. He was anointed to pastor. He called himself the great shepherd. He was the teacher. He was the apostle and the prophet, evangelist. I come to seek and save that which is lost. He was all of it. I'm not all of it. You're not all of it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen. You might think you're all that in a bag of chips, but you're not. I'm not all of it. But see, thank God for other people. However, I do have something that God called and anointed me to do. And in that anointing, I can do things beyond my own human ability.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Look back here. Jesus in verse 36, he saw the multitude, he's moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's what he focused in on. They need a shepherd. They need that same Greek word translated pastor is translated shepherd. They have no shepherd. And when he said, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. See, that's what he was focused in on. I need more people to help me get this done. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. We have a part to play in working with the head of the church to have these leaders raised up, these ones anointed to be laborers, and that's prayer. And there's so much here, we don't have time to get into that. But pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He'll send forth laborers into his harvest. And then he ordains these 12. But I wanted you to see, they were scattered. They fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep not having a shepherd. In other words, you remember Jeremiah 3, Jeremiah 23. There's different verses in Jeremiah. I don't have the references right in front of me. It's somewhere up here. But the Bible said, I'll give you pastors after my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Feed you the word of God with knowledge and understanding. So the pastor's role, if you read the whole counsel of the New Testament, is to feed the sheep. Tend and feed the sheep. Look after their spiritual well-being. feed them the word of God. Feed the sheep doesn't mean hamburgers or tacos. It's feed the sheep the word of God. How many of you know the word of God is food for our spirits? Just like, tacos or hamburgers, right? Tacos, is that right? Yeah. Are for our body. It's food for our body. Hallelujah. I'm going to feed my body right after this. But we need to eat spiritually. And the pastoral office is the main feeder of the sheep. That doesn't mean there's not other feeders in the body. Really, all these fivefold ministries can feed the sheep. But yet, right on the other hand, the pastor is the main feeder. There's a place that I go to. That there's a place I eat more often. It's called my house. Than other places. And for sheep, there's a place that they should eat more often than other places.
Amen.
That's a word of the Lord for somebody out there watching right now. But the thing that Jesus focused in on was they needed a shepherd, and they fainted because they didn't have a shepherd. They fainted and were scattered. I want you to notice that. Fainted and were scattered. In other words, spiritually, they were given out. They weren't enduring in faith. They didn't have somebody to feed them the word of God. Of course, he's there, but he can't get to all of them. You know, he didn't have all we have today to get the word out. He could be at one place at one time, one city at one time, one service at one time. And so, he needed some help getting the ministry out. And so he anointed others. Now, those ministries we have today called the fivefold ministry offices. Of course, there could be more people than that be laborers, we understand. But mainly it's the fivefold ministry offices. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Now,
amen.
Ephesians says in chapter number 4, in chapter 4, we're talking about the local church and the importance of it.
Yeah.
We shared a lot with in the first hour. We can't go back over. But Ephesians 4, but God has set some in the church. Remember that? Ephesians 4, verse number 11. God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For, what's the purpose? For the perfecting, that means the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all have work to do in the ministry. We're not, the pastors and ministers don't do it all. But notice he said, these ministry gifts are set for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting. Now, for years, I've looked that up, and for years, I've focused in on the maturing of the saints. And that's scriptural. I mean, that's accurate from the Greek. However, in more recent time, in studying it again, I realized I had missed something. And that was that there's more to that word that's translated perfecting than I realized. And that is, the Greek says right ordering. The definition, right ordering or right arrangement.
Yep, that's right.
And it started going off on the inside of me. The meaning of that. The right ordering and right arranging. How many of you know that there are things in all of our, when we come into the kingdom of God, there are things in all of our lives that are out of order.
Yeah.
What do I mean out of order? I mean not in line with the way God said they should be. Maybe our marriages are out of order. Maybe our children are out of order because we're not parenting right. Maybe our bodies are out of order. Maybe our finances are out of order. Maybe our brains are scattered. You know, scatterbrain, scatter. We're not, I mean, our minds aren't, you know, at perfect peace or something. There's a lot of things we come in, all of us, not putting anybody down. That's just the way we came into the body of Christ. We come in, remember Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, was a type of the new birth, type of being born again. And he came out of the grave all right. He's alive, but he's got wrapped around with grave clothes.
Yeah.
All of us come out of spiritual death, but there's a lot of stuff hanging on us still.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff still hanging on us.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, loose him and let him go.
Yeah.
In other words, Jesus could make him alive again, but others could help let him go. No man can give you the new birth. Only God, you can only receive that from God. But man, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, can help loose you and let you go. You came out and you're born again, but you're bound up with wrong thoughts, bound up with intimidation, condemnation, inferiority complex. You know, don't love yourself, don't love anybody else, don't... Whatever it was, we were all bound with something. But Jesus said to the disciples, loose him and let him go.
Yes. Right. Amen.
And so that's our job. We can't cause you to be born again, but we can lead you to it, you know. But we can be involved in loosing you and let you go. How do we do that? Through teaching you the Word of God. You'll know the truth, and the truth you know will make you free.
Amen.
That's right.
You remember in the Old Testament, in Genesis, actually, Jesus, I believe, you know, God through Jesus created all the creation. But the Bible says the earth, there in Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void. If you look it up, it's like helter skelter. It's just not, there's matter here, but it's not in order. It's not reduced into living things like plants or animals or whatever is in creation. You know, there's no such thing as trees. It's matter, but it's out of order.
Right.
Isn't that right? And the Bible said the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. But there's still no order. Isn't that right? How did God get order into his earth? He began to say something. Let there be.
That's right.
Let there be. Let there be. Every time he would say it, order would come, and different levels of creation, the animals, actually the heavens and the animals and everything, plants and everything. Every time he'd say something, order would come.
Yes, sir. Right.
Well, go to Titus. Go to Titus. If you're still interested, go to Titus. Praise the Lord. And notice what God sent, Paul sent under inspiration of the Spirit. Sent Titus in chapter number 1 to do something. Hallelujah. Verse number 5. For this cause left I thee, this chapter 1, Titus 1, left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So God spoke to Paul, said, have Titus set some things in order over there. Titus was a minister. He's a pastor. Set some things in order. So God uses ministry gifts and ministry office to set things in order. That's what it said in Ephesians 4. For the perfecting of the saints. To bring their lives into order.
Yes,
sir.
Yes. Amen.
But they don't do it with their good looks, although we got that part, department covered well here at Spirit of Faith, Pastor Debbie and I. Encouraging myself in the Lord. Come on now. Why are you laughing? You should have said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about this bunch today. I'm just picking on you. Whom the Lord loveth, the pastor picketh on. Isn't that right? But he doesn't do it. The pastor doesn't do it. Let's say it this way. He doesn't do it by his great leadership skills, although God will help him to be a leader. He doesn't do it with natural skills or natural ability or something he learned out of a book. He does it by, number one, anointing him to stand in that office. And number two, giving him the message of the word to preach to the people. And we see in the book of Genesis, whenever the word was spoken, God's world came into order. And you know, when the word is spoken and we're in church and we hear the word of God, whether it be marriage or whether it be divine healing or whatever it be, things start coming into order. You know it as well as I do. Look at your life.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. You're like me whenever I came in. Squirrely. You know, I don't know. Well, I know some of you and how you came in, but we all came in dysfunctional.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Out of order. Something. You know, you walk up to a... Do they even have soda machines anymore? I gave up soda when I was 17 years old, so I don't know. But you walk up to a soda machine or an ATM. Now, I know they got those. You walk up to something like that or up to a restroom in the airport or something, and it's got a sign on it, out of order. You know what that's saying? It's not functioning the way it's designed to function. And because there's some sort of dysfunction, whether the computer software broke down or one of the mechanisms inside broke down or the toilet overflowed in the bathroom at the airport or something, they put that sign on there saying it's not working like it's supposed to work. And that's the way we came into the body of Christ. All of us came in just not quite working the way we were supposed to work. But what does God do? Sit up in heaven and cry? Say, I want some functional people. No, he starts anointing pastors to give them the word.
Yes.
Give them the word.
Yes, sir.
And the word starts bringing function and order. And whenever finances weren't working, he says, bring the first to me. And we go, that doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it in faith. And things start working and things start. And that's true in every area of our life. Whenever that word gets preached, with somebody anointed to preach it. See, I heard me preach before I was anointed to preach. And I threw the tape, back then it was tapes, I threw the tape away. You cannot have it. Well, I could give it to you, but I'd have to kill you. You know what I'm talking about? Because that one's not getting out. But the anointing came on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I get unction to preach and share. And she gets unction to preach and share. And minister by the Spirit and the anointing of God to teach the people. You know, a lot of times I'm saying things people say, that was good. And you'll hear me a lot of times say, glory to God. You know why? Because you didn't know after I said it, I went in the back room and wrote it down. I thought it was pretty good too. See, we preachers, we know this stuff. That was pretty good. I never thought about that day of my life. I better write that down. Next time I'll say it as I always say, you know. Amen. See, we're going to lunch with the Keatons, and he's going to share, they're going to both share a lot of real good things. And I'll say, well, first time I quote him, I'll say, as Brother Keaton says. Second time I'll say, as I said. Third time I'll say, as I always say, you know. Amen. But tell your neighbor, things are coming into order. But they don't come into order sitting at the movie house or going to the mall on Sunday morning. Amen. I told on the first hour, I told about a person that got disconnected from the congregation here over COVID. Now they think their church is sitting at home, you know, watching YouTube. And they called us this week. They said, Pastor, you haven't addressed it. They called on Tuesday, they called the office. You haven't addressed it, Pastor. Don't you know the world's going to end on Friday? I didn't hear the world was going to end on Friday. I don't know. The Lord didn't say that to me. Where'd you get that? Some prophet on YouTube. I said, I told the front office, I'm not even going to honor the stupidity of that and answer that one.
Come on. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to honor that.
No, sir.
Because if they were in church,
their
mind wouldn't go squirrely like that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor hadn't addressed it. This is Tuesday. He's got a couple days till Friday. I told somebody that helps us with pastoral care, I said, on Saturday, call them. I said, they'll be more open to hear what you have to say on Saturday. But before that, we're not going to call. Did you ever notice it's Sunday? Did you look at the calendar this morning? It's Sunday? The world has an end. Listen, we got a great harvest to reap. We ain't done yet. Besides, it's not going to end in a day like that. It's going to go into the tribulation after we're gone, all that. So I don't know. And I said, tell them that I did preach on it. You didn't hear it, but I did address it. I addressed it last Sunday. Oh, you did? Yeah, I addressed on keeping your thought life on mind state on the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. But see, that's what happens.
Yes.
One of the safeties in the local church is safety from wrong doctrines.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. It's pretty good preaching, Pastor Jay. Okay, I'll keep on preaching it then. You never heard me get up and say stupid stuff like that. Amen. I told the person, the person that's going to help us talk to him. I said, I'm not even going to address that. What I'm going to address is you got separated from your pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you got off. That's why something like that could deceive you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
amen. God sent you here. You need to be here.
Amen.
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 Now, I'm not glorifying myself. It's the assignment I have in the body of Christ. Without the anointing to pastor, I couldn't make any sense from two scriptures, putting two scriptures together to help anybody. Amen. All right. So for the right ordering of the saints, how many of you know our thinking comes in order, our lives comes in order, everything starts working and functioning. And just like an ATM machine or a soda machine or something, that whenever it's in order, then it will do what it's supposed to do and it will produce what it's supposed to produce, either a soda or $100 bills or something. Isn't that right? And listen, whenever it's Christians set under the ministry of the Word of God, and the main feeder is the pastor, that doesn't mean there's not others, but the pastor, whenever they set under that, that's going to bring their lives in order, and God's going to begin to get out of them what He really intends for them to do. Because He's got more in mind for us than just us getting blessed, but He has something for us to do.
Right.
I want to go to heaven and hear, "Well done." Not, "Well, you should have done." But because you didn't go to the church I signed you to, you didn't your life wasn't brought into function, and it didn't start producing what I intended for it to produce. See, these issues are more important than we realize. Tell your neighbor, "I want the upgraded bells and whistles version of Christianity." Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll take it all. Isn't that what you want? Praise God. This isn't popular church culture. I didn't get this out of a popular church culture book today. This is God's word, but it's not popular today. You don't hear a lot of people emphasizing the local church. But I'm not trying to march to the beat of the popular church culture drum. I'm marching to the beat of the Word of God. Amen. All right. So now let's continue with this. From Titus, like we said, Paul sent Titus there to set things in order. In other words, there was something that wasn't in order there. Isn't that right? But your life will never really come in order if you don't have a pastor. Now, I know I said all those fivefold ministry offices, but the pastor is the main feeder of the sheep. You got to understand the way I'm saying that. I'm not saying that there aren't other offices and they all feed us. We acknowledge all of them here, and we have them all come in here. But the pastor's the main feeder. They travel. Other ministries travel, and they're not all at the same place at the same time. But the pastor is a higher calling to the sheep, because he's to the ones that he's assigned to. He's going to be there day in, day out, week in, way out, week in, week out. Isn't that right? And so when you hear things on Christian TV, which we've been on TV, I'm not opposed to Christian TV, we're on, we stream, we do media. And so hear me out, I'm not preaching against that, because I believe that's supplemental to the local church. It's not supposed to take the place of the local church. But when people are just want to get all their feeding or whatever from media or something like that, or CDs or whatever like that, they're missing something that I want to look at as we close this service, that really I think they miss something that the Word of God says. And you can't fully grow up by just, you know, feeding on something online or something like that. You can grow. You can learn. For me to say that you shouldn't listen to other ministers would be foolish on my part, because God has set other ministers in the church. So I'm not foolish. I understand all that. I'm just simply saying that we've got to focus in on God's plan. See, before the advent of media, God had a plan, and it still works today, even though we have media. And that is that people come together, not just sit in individual homes and learn and grow, but come together. Sheep are flock animals. You don't just see one out here and one over there and run. They run around on the hillside in a flock. You ever watched them? And there's somebody out there tending that flock. And that's God's plan. Jesus used that illustration of us being sheep. That's His plan. And so, just like Jesus had people sit down in companies, he has people sit down today in companies to feed them. Now, go over with me to the book of, you go to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to refer back to Matthew before we wrap this up here. I'm going to refer back to Matthew. You go to 1 Thessalonians. Where's that reference? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Notice it says in Matthew, Jesus said, they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep not having a shepherd. Fainted. In other words, they give out. You know what it means to faint? You get tired, you get weary, you quit, and so forth and so on. When people say, I tried that faith business and it doesn't work, they just fainted. You know, how many of you know believing God means we stand until the end? We take what God said and we believe and we stand until the end. Amen. So they fainted and were scattered. Scattered, if you look it up, doesn't just mean wander off. Although I've pastored for 18 years, you've pastored, you can probably testify to this, sheep do wander off. Yeah, but this is not, if you look up the word scattered here, it doesn't mean to just wander off. Somebody said, Pastor, you preached this last year at the new members class. Yeah, I'm going to preach it next year too. Might preach it before next year. But this means, the word scattered here means to be chased by a predator. So he's talking about, because they didn't have a shepherd, they were chased by the predator. Well, bring that into the teachings of the epistles and so forth. Satan, as a roaring lion, walks about. Remember 1 Peter 5:8? He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who's the predator of us in our lives? It's Satan. It's the enemy. Isn't that right? He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so Satan comes after all of our lives. Having faith doesn't guarantee you won't get attacked. Having faith doesn't mean you won't have tests or trials. But it does mean you always triumph in those tests and trials. Thank God for always triumphing. I've gone through some, I don't know if I would say this, doozy opportunities to lay down and quit and just give up. But I just decided, no, faith works. And here we are. Praise God. God got us through it. But he, Satan, as the roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, the next verse, whom resist, is that verse 8? Yeah. Whom resist steadfast in faith. The faith means everything that includes, faith in God. Yeah. Right. Steadfast in faith. Resist him steadfast. How many of you know resist the devil and he'll flee from you? Yeah. But what does he need to encounter whenever he comes at you? Faith. That's how you resist him steadfast in faith.
Amen.
Amen. The people, we've had some people get attacked with physical things this week. How do you resist him? You don't say, oh, devil, if you'll leave me alone, I'll promise not to do this or that anymore.
No.
You don't make a deal with him. You just say, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to take God's word. I'm going to stand on it.
That's right.
Believe I receive it.
Yes.
And walk by faith.
Amen.
Amen.
That's how I'm going to do this.
Amen.
And that's how I resist you. It is written, like Jesus in Luke 4. It is written, and he answered every thought that contrary to what he was believing. But so Satan comes, and we resist him steadfast in faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Okay. Well, Pastor, then, see, I wouldn't have to go to church then. Because I can hear on YouTube, you know, preaching. I can hear on Facebook. I can hear on CDs and Christian TV. I can hear. Faith comes by. So that's really, I don't need the local church. You know, those churches, that's all they want is your money, you know. So I don't need all that, you know.
Come on.
You know, I've heard people, I'm quoting people, by the way. So I don't need to go to church. But wait. Okay. Let me, did you find 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians 3. Chapter 3, verse 10. You even knew where it was. Night and day. Paul's talking about, because he's the daddy of this church. He had set pastors in when he left to be there, to stay there and pastor. But he's still the spiritual daddy of the church and still really the head pastor overall, you know. So he's still the pastor in one sense of the word. You know what I mean? Because he's even the daddy of the man he raised up to be pastor. So night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, I don't know about you. I've not arrived in faith yet. I still have some things in my life that is being perfected. Some things in my faith are still being perfected. I assume that you haven't arrived either. You've not arrived either. So we're all in agreement? We've still got some things. Now, that's not a negative. That doesn't mean we're inferior Christians or we don't love God or, you know, or anything like that. It just means we're still growing.
Yeah.
We're still learning. And I'm going to be better at walking by faith next year than I am this year.
Yeah.
I'm better this year than I was last year. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you can even see the fruit of it in my life. But I'm going to keep on perfecting what's lacking in my faith. Well, notice Paul said, I long to see you, night and day, praying exceedingly we might see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Notice, say that out loud. See your face and perfect what's lacking in your faith. All right, so we're going to put all these verses together. Matthew 9, he said, Satan, the predator, chases sheep, and he was praying that the Lord send more pastors.
Yeah.
What were they going to do? They're going to feed them the Word of God. What does that cause faith? Did that cause to happen? Faith to come.
That's right. Yeah.
But Pastor, I don't need that. I can do that on YouTube or so forth. Okay, let me look at this verse then.
Yeah.
When this verse says there's a level of operation of the anointing in ministers' lives,
yes,
that operates in such a way to where until you see the people's face, You think you're going to preach on one thing, but then you come in and you see somebody's face and you're like, oh, there's something I see on their face that, and you get unction to go this direction and say this and do this. And so, you know what I'm talking about? And there's different ways the anointing works. And one of the ways it works is it doesn't, some things don't operate, some gifts of the Spirit, some things you see in the Spirit, so forth and so on. They don't operate until you see somebody. We just read it in Matthew 9. When he saw the multitude, something started stirring in him. Something started stirring in him. Something started stirring in him. Something, and it didn't happen until he saw the multitude. That's one way the anointing operates, and that's why it's not enough to just sit and watch on YouTube or Christian television, because they can't see your face. Well, I can see their face. No, wait, that's not the way it works. The other way, they have to see your face, and that's when something starts stirring. So there's a level of things that won't be tailored to you. How can I say this, Lord? There's a level of tailoring things just for your need in the time that will only operate in the presence of someone operating, ministering the word under the anointing, that won't operate through Christian TV. I don't mean word of knowledge can't work through Christian TV. All those things do. We see all that. And healings, we see all that. But I'm saying there's a level of something here. We see it in the Bible really over and over again. You remember in, we just quoted Matthew 9. How many of you remember 1 Samuel 16? Whenever God sent Samuel down to Jesse's house, to anoint David to be king. Except he didn't know it was David. God just told him, go down there to Jesse's house, and I'm going to show you the one that is my choice to be king. And you remember all the boys came by, and the Lord didn't say that it was the one or not the one until the person stood right in front of him. The oldest came by, and he thought, he's in his natural mind, well, he's big and tall and good looking, sort of like Pastor Jay. And so, and he must be the one. He must be the one. God said, no, I don't look on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. And I rejected him. So another one came by. No, he's not the one. Another one came by. Notice, the Holy Ghost never said a thing to him until he saw him.
Yep, that's right. Yep. Yep. Yep.
He didn't have a clue whether they were the one or not the one until they stood in his presence.
Yes.
Holy Ghost said, no, he's not the one.
Right.
Put all the boys through that Samuel thought he had. And is this all of them? Well, there's one runt out there. You know, he's watching the sheep. You know, Jesse must not have thought it would have been him.
Right.
Well, go get him. We won't finish here till he comes in. He's the one. David stood in front of him. He's the one.
Yeah.
Notice, God didn't say that on the way over there. Now there's one out feeding the sheep. He's the one. God didn't say that. He said it whenever that boy stood in his presence. There's something about, I'm sure you know that you operate, both of you, in the gifts of the Spirit. Something about you get close to people, or sometimes you touch them. And all of a sudden. Can't do that through Christian TV. You would think I'm preaching against Christian TV this morning. I'm saying that's a supplement. It's not the main plan of God. It's not the main plan of God. You getting it this morning? And so we see it there in Jesus in Matthew 9. We see it in 1 Samuel 16. Matthew 14, he saw the multitude, was moved with compassion, and the healing anointing started manifesting, and he healed their sick. That didn't kick in until he saw the multitude. Romans 1:11. Here's what I want you to go look at. Romans 1:11. I'm glad I came to church this morning. Romans 1:11. He said, Paul said this, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Notice there's something he couldn't do until he got there. In person. Now back to 1 Thessalonians, where he said, the verse there, we're in the third chapter, we just looked at it. He said, I long to see your face, that I might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now wait, Pastor Jay. Hold on. Wait. How does faith come?
By hearing.
By hearing. And by what? Hearing the word? The very letter that Paul wrote that in, 1 Thessalonians 3, was the Word of God.
Yeah.
I'm just going to write this to you, and this will be all you need to perfect your faith.
No, sir.
Huh? You know you can read your Bible and not see something until somebody under the anointing of the Spirit points it out, and you're like, I never saw that before. You know, many of our blessings in the body of Christ are connected to the right associations and divine connections and being where we're supposed to be. I'm sure that others can testify, but I'm much further along because I obeyed God and went to sit under Brother Hagin.
Yes.
And I would not be where I am today. Whenever God called me, I said, all right. This was when I was a teenager. I said, all right. I said, all right, then I need to get busy. I need to start going out and preaching and evangelizing. And the Lord said, you need to go to Bible school. I'm like, I don't have time to go to Bible school. I mean, Jesus is coming. You know, my mind, because I would have gone out there and who knows what I would have preached. I needed something put in me first. And so God said, all right, I want you, there's a ministry down here. I want you to connect with it. Oh, thank God.
Amen.
I passed the other Jay up long time ago. You know, if he'd have gone out and done what and been in the ministry without obeying God, going to Bible school, I passed that Jay up long time ago. Hallelujah. And that's the way we all are. There's things in the way. Paul wrote this letter. Faith comes by hearing things like 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and all that. And this is the Word of God. And yet he still said, there's things until I get there and preach this to you that I won't be able to perfect. In other words, your faith won't get perfected just reading your Bible yourself. I encourage you to read it. I encourage you to meditate on it. I'm not saying don't do that. I mean, that's all wrong doctrine. You know, people preach that. But I'm saying there's just somebody anointed to help you understand it.
Amen.
Poke your neighbor and say, somebody's anointed to help you. I'm not saying your relationship with God is through a man, because it's not. You have fellowship with God. You're his child. You can talk to him. He'll say, there'll be many things he'll say to you. But the Lord said this to me one time. He said, there are things that you need in order to succeed in life and ministry that I won't say to you directly. I'll say it to the one that I want you to be connected to. And if you're going to get it, you're going to have to get it from them.
Yes.
He didn't say everything. He said, there are things.
Yes.
There are things. Anybody identify with what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And so Paul came there, and when he saw their face, something started stirring in him. And he said, I remember when the Spirit of God dealt with me about this. And he starts sharing that, and it does something that...
Yes.
Them just reading their Bible on their own, they couldn't have got. They could. I don't mean they couldn't. But God doesn't set it up that way.
Right.
Every joint supplies. Remember,
yes.
He sets it up to where we get a supply from other joinings in the body of Christ.
Yes.
I don't want to have to understand it all on my own. I want somebody to say, "Open to this verse and read that," and then I look at it and I go, because like for example, when Brother Hagin said, "Faith comes by hearing," I'm like, "It does." And then he said, "Open," and he read, okay. Well, fake. I'd have read right past that and wouldn't have thought that's what that meant. But sure enough, that's what it says.
That's right.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, some people think they have faith problems when they actually have face problems.
That's good.
Come on now. Come on now.
Nobody sees their face. You know what I mean by face problems? They don't show up in church. They're just out there on their own. They're lone rangers, and some of them have a Tonto too, but that's about it. They're all on their own. That's how they get squirrely. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I go to church, I get things knocked off of me. When I sit under Pastor Nancy, sometimes I'm sitting there. I don't see that, put it on my face, but she probably can read my face. I probably think she can't. But I'm sitting there going, "Ouch! Oh yeah, that's right. Ugh, yeah. Okay, Lord, I'll make that adjustment."
Amen.
Amen. And my faith is being perfected. And dross is getting out, and wrong thinking is getting out, and things are changing, and I come away with a better, you know, yieldedness to God, better faith, operating in faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So, spiritual, there is in the body of Christ, spiritual authority. Now, that doesn't mean when people read or hear the word authority, they get scared. Well, bless God, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, I know. The pastor's not, assigned to tell you what to do. He's assigned to preach the word of God. But spiritual authority, what does that mean? His authority is not to dominate or dictate people's lives. I don't even have any interest in that, to be honest. That to me is just, you know. But that's not what this authority is about. If you look at the word authority, it has the word author in it. Author. Authority is set. There's different levels of authority. There's governmental authority. There's parental authority. And, you know, different kinds of authority. Civil authority. But there's also spiritual authority. That's people God sets in the body of Christ with an assignment to do something for him in the work of God. Most of them are in fivefold ministry offices and so forth. But they're not set there to run people's lives. They're set there to author something from him in people's lives. That's what authority is. It is the ability or the assignment to author things in people's lives. Now, let me explain that, because every human relationship is governed by the law of love. That means you and my human relationship, I mean, this is not just a human relationship, but you know what I mean. All relationships are governed by the law of love. I'm to be governed by the law of love as I pastor you. You're to be governed by the law of love in following the directions of the Lord to you, whatever he tells you to do here in the congregation and be a part of the congregation. Isn't that right? But you do it out of love. Love for him, love for the work of God, love for, you know, us and so forth and so on. Isn't that right? So, to author something, it means to author blessings, because God's not out cursing or condemning, he's out blessing. So authority is authorized by heaven to bless people. Bless them with the truths of the word, teach them the word, bless them with the anointing on their lives. Isn't that right? And that bless, it is the ability to be a blessing. I don't want to be anything else. Anybody want to be a blessing? And so authority is not to control our lives, but it's somebody has been anointed to bless us. Somebody's been anointed to help us. And I want, and actually my wife tells me I need all the help I can get. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Same thing to himself.
I'm not looking at you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for help. Why would Amen. We turn down help?
Amen.
Amen. I need help. And so I thank God for other people. One of the reasons I'm looking forward so much to lunch today, because as a traveling minister, I used to get to a fellowship with other pastors every week. And I enjoyed, I'm there preaching and they're having us preach, but I enjoyed sitting listening to them because they're pouring into me and I'm going, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. See, I'm getting help.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So I need help, you need help,
yes, sir.
And somebody's anointed to help us all.
Amen.
Somebody's anointed to help us all. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, did you get anything out of that this morning? And so whenever I realized that there was a bells and whistles version of Christianity where I could get something beyond the anointing that I got when I was born again and the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon me when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I could take and receive from the benefit of leaders in the body that he connects me with and the anointing on their life and the things that God has taught them and so forth, I thought I want the upgraded version. I want everything. I want, like King Saul got in the middle of those others that were anointed. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.